I'm Marty Dodson.
And I'm Clay Mills. Welcome to Songtown on Songwriting.
Hey, everybody. It's Marty and Clay in the Songtown Zoom room. Today, we're going to be talking about a big topic. We're going to be talking about how to handle feedback. And that's something so many writers we run into struggle with. It's something we've struggled with at times. And we've actually got a whole course called Feedback Forward on what to do with feedback going forward and how to take it and use it to improve. So if you're a Songtown member, you can watch that whole video series. But we're going to kind of hit the highlights of that today. And, you know, I thought we would just start by talking about, you know, feedback can be really overwhelming. Because especially, you know, if I send a song into one place and I get feedback and I song it into another, to the same song to another place and I get different feedback, then I'm left going, well, what do I do? You know, what do I do with all this feedback I'm getting? So, Clay, what would your answer be to that question?
Marty, can you repeat the question, please?
Yes. What do you do when you get conflicting feedback from people?
Well, this is really something that took me, you know, I'm a pretty hard-headed kind of person, you know, and it took me a long time to figure out how to navigate those waters. So basically what I try to do, what I learned over the years is if I'm playing a song for someone, then I definitely want their feedback. If I don't get positive feedback from the first person I play, you know, I check and I go, okay, does this resonate with me? Are they telling me they don't understand the second verse? And do I go, you know what? I struggled when I was writing that. You know, let me go take a look at that. Or do I go, you know what? I think the second verse is good. So maybe the second person I play it for. If three people start telling me, you know, you're losing me in that second verse, then I know that I'm in the wrong 99% of the time. Because we can easily have blinders on. But I don't freak out the first time someone says anything negative or someone doesn't get my music. You know, I just kind of check my gut and go, okay, or, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and then I make the decision, I make the call.
Yeah, I think a big mistake a lot of people make is that they'll, you know, people come to me and say, okay, I made all the changes that you suggested. And I'm like, well, then you're going to go get feedback from someone else and you're going to make all the changes they suggest. You know, right. That can just make you crazy. And I think you're right. It's important to weigh the feedback that you get. And, you know, if you're getting continual feedback, let's say that you struggle in the second verse that you're just rewriting the first verse. Well, then you need to pay attention to that in all of your songs, you know. But if that happens in one song, you can go, well, maybe in this song, that's the best thing I needed to do is kind of, you know, restate the first verse in some way to make it a little different point, you know? So, you know, I think one thing I suggest to people is don't immediately go out and just change everything. Live with it a little bit, weigh it against what you think, weigh it against what you've gotten from other people, and then take action and do something about it. Another thing I think is really important in regard to feedback is to consider who's talking. So if you're getting feedback, if you come to me or Clay, you're getting feedback from a songwriter perspective. And we are publishers now, but you know, for most of our career, we've been songwriters. And so we're going to give you feedback on how to make that song better. A publisher that's not a songwriter can't give you that kind of feedback. And so they're going to give you feedback more on the pitchability of that song or the marketability of that song. And they're going to talk to you about, well, if I played that for people, I think I would get this kind of feedback, but they probably can't tell you how to fix it. You know, so it's really important to think about who's talking to you and what their level of expertise is and where they can speak. So if a publisher who's not a songwriter starts telling me how to rewrite my song, I'm going to go, I'm not so sure about that, you know, as opposed to my first publisher was a Hall of Fame songwriter. So he gave me great advice on reworking my songs. But I think it's really important to know in some places where you send in songs for feedback, you don't know the qualifications of the people giving you feedback. And so you have to be careful with that. You know, one commitment we make to people in Songtown is that everybody giving feedback in our pro feedback section is a hit songwriter. So you're getting that songwriting perspective on how you can make your song better. We caution them not to get into pitching because that's not what they do. You know, that's not their area of expertise. So, you know, always evaluate who's giving me feedback. You know, if it's my Aunt Mildred, she may, you know, have a certain thing that she likes, but that doesn't mean that it's right, or that she may have a piece she doesn't like. And I don't necessarily need to go change everything Aunt Mildred doesn't like. And it's the same with anybody else.
Yeah. And it's especially important to know that when you're playing songs for producers or publishers, a lot of times a publisher, they're so focused on, can I take this song door to door right now, knock on Keith Urban's door, whoever, and get them to cut this song? And often as writers, I found through my career is that we often can see down the road past what is going right now. And that's a big strength for us, because we need to know where the market is going. We need to have trust our instincts. And, you know, I've had songs that I've written that my first number one, my publisher, I played it for him. Nah, this is just, you know, I can't see this working. And I felt good about it. I went ahead and demoed it. It took, you know, I waited a while, wait about 6 months, and I demoed it with a different slant than my original recording of it had. And then he heard it, and he could take it out and go get it cut. It was the same exact song, but he didn't really have the vision at the time to go, okay, Beautiful Mess does not sound country. You know, it sounds really progressive, but when it's out, done by a country band, and they do their arrangement, that's going to be something really different and cool. So sometimes as writers, we may have a bit more vision for the future than a publisher who's focused on what am I hearing on radio today, and does this song fit that? You know, we need to focus on what could work tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, don't hear us saying ignore feedback. Right. What we're saying is, you get a vote in the feedback as well. As a writer, you know, consider your own thoughts about it and your own feelings, and then weigh the feedback you're getting.
Right. And to, you know, in defense of my publisher on that song, he did say something valuable. He says, this sounds a little too progressive for anything a country artist would cut. So I made sure when I went in and demoed it, I took that feedback that he gave me and I demoed it in a way where it was slightly less on the pop side and more on the country side. And perhaps if he had not given me that feedback, I wouldn't have ended up with a number one song that crossed over into pop. You know, I would have just gone with my original recording, and perhaps the band that ended up recording would have gone, nah, that's too progressive for us. So, you know, I take in everything people tell me, but I had to figure out, he doesn't mean the song is wrong. He's talking about the way it's presented, and he couldn't verbalize that to me. So I had to come up with that on my own.
Right. You know, I think too, it's important when you're getting feedback to tell people what you're looking for. Yeah. You know, so for instance, in the Songtown forum, if you put, hey, I would just like to know if this song is in the ballpark for a Blake Shelton pitch, you're going to get a whole different level of feedback than if you say, just put the song up there and say, give me feedback. Then they're going to say, well, you need to do this, and you need, you know, they're going to break the song down and those kinds of things. So if you can articulate what you're looking for with the feedback, you know, I want feedback on this demo. Does it present the song well? That's a whole different level of feedback. So don't assume that people giving you feedback know what you want and what you're looking for. And I think it's also important to consider, are you trying to just fix this one song, or are you trying to learn things that can affect all of your songs? And so, you know, sometimes people take a very short-sighted view of, I just want to fix this one song. But, you know, if you can invite feedback on things that might help you just improve as a writer, that kind of stuff can be really helpful. You know, so if you can say, hey, don't hold back. You know, I want you to be really hard on me with this. Let me know any patterns you see. That kind of stuff can be helpful, because if you can identify these patterns, then you can apply that to all your songs going forward. So, you know, it's, I think, really important to think about what's your ultimate goal. Is it just to fix this one song, or is it to learn to be a better writer?
I think that's huge, because what you'll find out if you say you get feedback over a year from three or four different sources, and you start noticing not so much about how to fix those individual songs, but you'll start noticing, oh, wow, all of these people are telling me the second verse should accomplish this. When you get to the second verse, it should take the story a little deeper. That's going to make me a better writer, where when I write second verses in the future, they're going to move people. They're going to affect people on a deeper level than what I was doing. So to me, feedback is 99% of it's got to be for the long term. I want to know what those professionals, you know, are thinking when they look at my song. Why are they all focusing in on this element? You know, I didn't even know that was important. And so that was huge for me, co-writing early in my career. With, I got hooked up with some really great writers in my first publishing deal. And it was eye-opening for me. Wow, they're all focusing on X, Y, and Z, and I was focusing on A, B, and C. You know, I need to adjust what I'm focused on. And I think that feedback shows you what pros are focused on.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, if another thing that confuses people with feedback sometimes is, you know, I'll have somebody say, I got feedback that this was a perfectly written song, but I can't get anybody interested in cutting it. Well, they didn't ask that question. You know, is this a perfectly written song that's cuttable in today's market? Those are two different questions. So, you know, so you might get feedback that it's a great song, but that doesn't mean that it's a commercial song. You know, so again, that's important for people to know what you're trying to do with that song. If you're thinking it's commercial, say, I want feedback on the song and in relation to how commercial it is and relevant to right now in pop or country, or whatever genre that you're writing.
And, you know, you can write a great song that checks all the boxes, but it's not a great song in the way that it moves people. It's you know what I mean? You've technically written a good song. It checks every box. You haven't done anything wrong. You know, but it still doesn't move people. And I think that's where, you know, we often talk about writing from the heart rather than writing from the head. And I think a lot of times we'll hear songs and we go, you know, we really can't tell you anything wrong with this song, but it should move me, but it doesn't. And I think that's where, you know, one of my early mentors told me, there's a lot of people that can learn to get 95% of the way to a great song. It's that extra 5% that's the hardest part, you know, and it's hard to put your finger on how to get that extra 5%. So, yeah, you may have gotten that 95% and no one can tell you a thing wrong with your song, but it doesn't mean at the end of the day it's going to move people. You know, and that's what we're looking for. I'd rather have a song that, you know, has five things in it that are wrong, but it makes me cry every time I hear it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody told me one time that it's like what you're describing is like when you first start out writing, the difference in the winners and the losers is like a marathon. You know, so in a marathon, it may be hours between the winner and the loser. But when you're in a sprint, it's a second maybe between the winners and the losers. But it's that second that makes the winner the winner. And it's that way as you get better as a songwriter, the race is shorter and the difference between what you're writing and what's getting on the radio is smaller, but that difference still really matters. And that's what you're trying to learn with your feedback, you know, is okay, what would make me get over that hurdle to make that extra 5%? Another thing I want to talk about is it really doesn't matter if the feedback person, you know, the person giving you feedback likes your song or not. That's not what you're after. And but so often that's what people seek. You know, they'll play me a song and they'll go, well, do you like it? And my point to that is it's irrelevant if I like it. You know, if it's a hit, that's great. I don't have to like it. I don't like every hit on the radio. So I think that's the wrong question to ask people. Better questions are, what does it make you feel? You know, or right. Are there things that are confusing in this? You know, what do you hear me trying to say in this song? If you ask questions like that, you're going to get much better feedback than do you like it? Because I could like it and it not be a hit.
Right.
Or I could not like it and it is a hit. So, you know, I think that being too caught up in whether or not people like your music can really mess with your head.
You're searching for their approval. It's like sometimes like a parent that you want them to approve of what you're doing. And that's really something that'll paralyze you rather than helping you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's two kinds of people giving you feedback usually as well. There's people that are really conscious of, they don't want to crush you. You know, they don't want to hurt your feelings. And so they're going to be overly positive. And then on the other side, there's might be people that are just going to go, okay, you asked my feedback. I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with this. And Clay and I, with our writers, we kind of have that relationship. We're like, we're going to tell you everything. You know, that doesn't mean we're right and all that, but we're going to tell you everything we see here because we want you to be better. And, you know, so it's very helpful if you tell people what level of feedback you want. In fact, on our Songtown Pro feedback, you can select go easy on me or, you know, don't hold back. I think hit me with your best shot, you know, like what all you got. And I think it's super important to remember, too, that criticism of your song is not criticism of you as a writer.
Yeah,
we all make mistakes. And there's, you know, sometimes like I might write a song with one of our writers and they turn it in and Clay gives them feedback on things that we need to improve. Well, I don't want him to hold back because I'm a writer on the song. You know, I want to hear everything he thinks that could make the song better. You know, so don't take criticism to mean that you're a bad writer or that someone thinks you're no good if they're giving you negative feedback or, you know, critique of your song. It just means this needs work and that's how you improve. And, you know, Clay and I run into people pretty often. We had somebody this week that said, well, the publishers all just tell me that I'm no good. So, you know, I don't need to pay somebody to be mentored and told I'm no good. And our response was, they're not telling you you're no good. They're telling you your songs are not good enough yet. And they're trying to tell you how to make them better and how to improve. And really, your best friend in the music business is somebody who will tell you your song's not good enough yet.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of people who blow smoke and say, this is awesome, it's amazing, and it's not, and they just don't want to hurt your feelings. But the person who will say, you know, I just don't think this one's ready, is your best friend, because they're being honest with you and they're trying to help you learn. And sometimes that can be a hard pill to swallow. But if you can, if you can remove the idea that they think you're a bad writer, that really helps. If you can separate yourself from the, you know, the feedback on this song is not feedback on me. And, you know, Clay and I, as long as we've done this, we pitch songs all the time and they get passed on. That doesn't mean we're bad writers. You know, it just means that song wasn't right for that artist at that moment, or that person didn't like it, or they had something like, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that they could have passed on my song. And it doesn't mean that I'm a bad writer, but I think internalizing that feedback can really mess with your head and ruin your enjoyment for writing.
And, you know, think of it like this, a publisher, their job is to find great writers to work with. So they want you to succeed. When we're playing a publisher, a song, they want the number one thing they want is for you to wow them with an incredible song so they can discover it and go out and get an artist to record it. Or if you're an artist, they want to know that you can write these great songs. You know, let's go get this guy a record deal or this girl a record deal. And, you know, we've seen it in Songtown with artists like Gail or Sarah Davis, you know, signing publishing deals and record deals. And we just had a former member, Lee Starrs, get a number one country song. So the publishers want you to succeed. And once you get over that hump and can take the criticism of I'm not there yet and make it your mission to show up the next time with a song that's so good that it can't be denied, you know, and if you accept that responsibility, then you're going to make progress. You can't help but make progress.
And, you know, to Clay's point, publishers get so tired of hearing average songs. And it, from their own writers, I mean, because, you know, the stuff their writers turn in, most of them are really good, but they're not great, you know, so they're in the middle ground. And they get so excited when they hear a great song. So they are wanting that. And their expectation, I mean, they would love to meet somebody they've never met that plays them a hit. And they can go to all their buddies. They go, I discovered this guy or this girl, you know, she's got these some amazing songs, you know, they want that. And they live for that kind of stuff. So when they give you criticism or feedback that you don't like, they're really doing you a favor. Because if they told you it was great and just sent you on your way, you're not going to learn anything.
And if you are great, here's the big myth in the music business. They go, oh, they're just trying to keep me out of the music business. Are you kidding? Because if you play something great for someone in the music business, whether it's me or Marty or a publisher, a producer, and it's really great, do you think they want someone else to sign you? I mean, they want to be the one to sign you. They don't want to go, well, I could have signed that guy or that girl. And no, I just, you know, I was trying to keep them out of the business, but, you know, somebody down the street, you know, let them in. And so... And we all feel that way. When I was on the outside, you know, I didn't make it into the music business until my mid-30s, into the record business. But when you're on the outside, it can feel like that. I know I felt like that. Are they trying to keep me out? But no, people want you to succeed. They really do.
Absolutely. And, you know, one day, one of our Songtown members played me a song, and I said, man, this would be perfect for my friend who's a Canadian artist. Yeah. And I sent it to the guy. He loved it and put it on hold. And his comment to me was, man, that's really cool of you sending me a hit song that you didn't write. And it made me look good. You know, so it's not like I'm just doing somebody a favor. It's like people appreciate it when you send them a great song.
Yeah,
and you know, they don't care if I wrote it or if I'm just found one that I thought would be great for them. He was honored that I would send it to him, you know. So people in the music business, by and large, are eager to help you if you've got a hit song, you know. And if you're not getting that response, then it means you just still have work to do. It doesn't mean you're a bad writer.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we encourage people to develop thick skin, to learn how to communicate what you're looking for from feedback, to not take it personally. And kind of the idea of you only get to be great by sucking in the beginning, you know? So if some people just started off great, you know, that would be totally unfair, but that's not really the case, you know? Ashley Gourley and I wrote, who's now got 50 something number ones. We wrote years ago when we were young writers and our song was just not very good, you know? And that didn't mean we were bad.
Yeah.
It just means we weren't good enough yet. But there's three things that I want to encourage you to think about as we kind of close out. There's three ways to move forward after you get feedback. You can do more work and rewrite the song. You can demo and pitch it. If it's ready, just demo it and start trying to pitch it. Or you can move on from that song. And I think that's the one people struggle with most, you know, because we feel like all of our children are beautiful. And in reality, all of our children are not beautiful. All our songs are not going to be great. And so, you know, as you think about feedback, weigh it all, you know, don't take every person's as the gospel, but just weigh all the feedback you're getting evaluate how much you're excited about that song, and you know, and then decide, is it right now? And I go demo it and pitch it, or do I need to work on it some more? Or do I just need to let this one go and move on? And I think if you can learn to do those things equally well and to separate which pile the song needs to go into, that really helps you move forward and take the feedback and do something productive with it. All right. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Cheers. Take care, Clay. Cheers. Cheers.
Hope you found that useful, and maybe that'll affect the way you look at feedback going forward, and maybe help you use it in a more constructive way. As usual, we want to leave you with a song. This one's called Riding That Wave by Tom Pino, Derek James, and Kelly McKay, and it'll give you a little beach feel in the middle of winter here. If you haven't checked out Songtown, please check us out, songtown.com. You can give us your email and get 10 free videos on songwriting that kind of give you an idea of what we do and what we're about. But we'd love to teach songwriting, to talk about it, and to encourage and hopefully inspire people that want to write songs and share them with the world. So take care. Have a great week.
After sunset, the beach bar where we met, still picture your pink polka dots, shades up in your hair, sipping that salt air, band had you dancing the bop. You were the prettiest girl in the sand, you had me riding the palm of your hand, when you smiled and you waved at me, and I've been riding that wave that you gave me ever since the day that we chased that summer kiss with a little margarita vibing, laughing late into the night. And who would have thought when I caught your eye we'd be here tonight under this July sky, catching more than just the tide. And still riding that wave. Still riding that wave. Now the palm trees are swaying, the stars are all waking up, shining their light on your smile. Your eyes pull me in like the moon pulls the ocean, just like they did on that night. I'm still riding that wave that you gave me ever since the day that we chased that summer kiss with a little margarita vibing, laughing late into the night. And who would have thought when I caught your eye we'd be here tonight under this July sky, catching more than just the tide. And I'm still riding that wave that you gave me ever since the day that we chased that summer kiss with a little margarita vibing, laughing late into the night.